What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Dad Strides Podcast, the running podcast all about getting those tired dad legs moving again. I am your newest dad host, Caleb Babcock.
And it's your favorite dad, Niles, and we are coming at you on a beautiful day. I don't know how it is in Washington, but it's nice here. And we have a pretty solid lineup of topics that we want to run through. I feel like...
But it's also funny you say that because we're... It's Thursday, the 28th today. There's literally a storm. Like, people are talking about it. There's, like, all this rain coming in 2 days. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so, so if you live where I live, it's crystal blue skies and the waves are good. But if you live anywhere else, apparently you have an atmospheric river just barreling down on you guys. Which
And you Niles has his shirt off right now, so of course. If that's any indicator.
Yeah, because it's 81 degrees outside.
Dude, fall weather, though. I am a fan.
I am a huge fan of fall weather. It's cold at night, warm during the day. That's butter, dude. It's so good.
It's runnable. It's runnable for sure.
It is very runnable, which is what I want to talk about on the podcast, because now it's chilly and my heart rate is low and the vibes are high and the cadence is 174. Sick.
Dude, look at you. Look at you with your cadence knowledge.
I know. It's hard to get a 180 cadence. It is. It's impossible. Move your feet very, very quickly.
Well, sick. Yeah, welcome back. It's been a little bit. I feel like our last episode with Taylor Wolf, shout out, when we were in Oklahoma together. Mm-hmm. But now we're back. We had some weird audio. We're back at our houses with our good microphones. Just, you know, a couple dads on a work day doing the pod. And just want to say what's up, everybody. Yep. We do honestly really appreciate you for still listening to this podcast. It's been over a year now of us just rambling, thinking we're funny, building this little community. And
we're funny. That's the worst part. It's true.
No, it's the worst, but it's the best. It's a very dad move.
Right.
But I don't know. What do you think? I'm just grateful for this podcast. Like, as much as we are inconsistent nowadays, but not that bad. It's just fun.
You're always so stressed about our cadence of pod releases, as well as your cadence of steps. Yeah, you're trying to get a 180 pod release. Yeah, no, I think it ends up being kind of therapeutic just to like talk about my feelings of running. You know, it's like I feel it inside, and then I get to talk about it, and then people listen to it, which I think is hilarious.
Let's get into that. Those feels, because you said. You had a running revelation, kind of. Not really, but.
Yeah, I had an RR. It's called a running revelation. I hope you guys all can experience it one day, because it's
RR.
I mean, like, you hit an RR and you just transcend immediately.
You do. You hit an RR at some point in your running career.
Dude, it's called an RRT, actually. No. I think, but for real, I mean, these last... Well, basically, my wife and I had our first trip away from the kids, just us two. And guys, it was insanity. I mean, we were looking at each other like, you're fun, I'm fun, we're fun.
Like, you're hot, I'm hot.
You're hot, I'm hot, we're alone. Like it's like here we are, like driving up through Big Sur, just like doing whatever we want, stopping when we want. It was insane.
Did you do? What was the vacation?
We basically drove to Big Sur, spent the night in Big Sur, had a fire camping spot. I posted some fire photos on the gram. Go check them out. And then
sick.
And then we went to
shameless plug.
Yeah, and then we went to Cameron Cruz's wedding, who we've talked about on this podcast.
Oh yeah,
skinny, jacked redhead who crushes
vert
hills.
Scientist.
Yeah, vert the vert scientist. That's so good. So we went to the vert scientist's wedding. It was great. And then we drove back. It was just like a 2-day thing.
Okay.
And when we get back is when, you know, it was like the highs are high and the lows are low. We basically for the last like 2.5 weeks or so have just gotten rocked by just a bunch of life stuff, you know, like towns quit breastfeeding, which is a whole thing in and of itself. And then all the kids got sick, and then Sarah got sick, and then I'm on work trips, and I'm getting back and just trying to juggle all of life.
Then you got sick.
Yeah, and then I kind of got sick, but then was fine. I don't know. It was weird. But basically, it was like I would work and watch the kids all day while Sarah rested as much as she could. And then by the time like 9:30 came around, it was like I was just in the worst headspace. So the first thing I decided to do each night would be like go for a run. and it's chilly out and it's nice and I'm running slow, but it is just crazy how much your headspace changes like pre-run to post-run. And it's like, I think I realized it's like when I don't want to run is when I need it the most. Like when I don't want to run, like that's when my mental health needs it. That's when my physical health probably needs it. And I think, yeah.
And your spiritual health.
And my spiritual health, yeah.
It's like alone time with God.
Right. And it's like you're kind of just sitting there with your thoughts. You're processing all the good, the bad of the day. And right. Yeah, it really, I noticed a complete 180 from when I left home to when I got home. Like how much more loving I was, like a better dad, better husband. So, you know, we don't really talk about real stuff, real feelings on this podcast, but we can if you guys want to.
We talk about them together, though, dude. We're open
we
about
do,
our
we
real
do.
Feelings.
And we also just, we just don't take ourselves too seriously. So it always turns into a joke at the end. But I do think, I think those runs, it's like, it's less about training and more about just like
so
doing
good
it.
For your,
and like, it's just, yeah. And it's just so good. It's like, it just feels so good. So
it's like a mood booster.
Yeah, it just hit a mood booster and then you're ready to rock. So I just highly recommend if you're feeling stressed today, tomorrow, and a month from now, just like strap
get
on those
there.
Shoes. And what's nice is if you do a little more tempo run, it's way more like because you're kind of fired up from the day. It's like if you go to a tempo run, you're kind of more I think it helps more than doing like a slow burner because you're kind of you're working hard and you have all this kind of adrenaline and stress. And so I think a tempo run is kind of the call.
I can attest to that too, for sure. Even like any time of the day, if you can just get that run in, whether that's in the morning, but I feel like, I mean, scientifically, it does release a bunch of good stuff into your brain.
Right.
You're feeling
endorphins,
better. You're
right?
Off.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like,
probably
it's like
endorphin pros, dude. But yeah, it's a good thing. So no. Props to you for getting out on those dad hours, bringing the dad hours back in
full force.
Bringing
the dad hours back.
If you're new around here, dad hours are when it's like the time we're allotted as dads to have a little free time at night.
Yeah.
Some of the other responsibilities are done.
It can be really early. It can be early in the morning too. It's just basically like when the family's asleep and no one needs anything from you. Those are the dad hours.
It's when you don't feel bad about like doing, doing a run.
Right. Because it's like the only thing you're really sacrificing is your own sleep. Or your own time. You're not like sacrificing time with your wife or your kids
right.
or anything like that.
Well, another couple, I mean, I feel like just got a couple updates. This is like just a needed podcast of us rambling. And then we also, coming up at the end of the episode, or maybe in the middle, we have some listener questions.
Or just whenever we feel like it.
Yeah, whenever we feel like it. We had some listener questions. We'll get to those.
Those are always fun.
Instagram, I asked. Yeah, people wrote in their questions. Anyways, I got a kettlebell in the mail.
Like the thing that you like, the thing that you like ding when people like run by you, right? Like
yeah,
like,
yeah, to scare the bears away. Taylor commented that on the post. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 25-pounder, guys, and I'm going to definitely...
For the record, I have a 35-pounder, so sick.
Okay.
But
and you don't use it because it's too heavy.
I've used it once, and then that was when I think I hurt my back, so I haven't used it since. But honestly, I'm excited to get that thing flowing again because they're
the
called flows.
The extra 10 pounds is... I need those workouts. Do you have like a chart?
So I still do a flow chart for the flows. No, I still need Matt, my neighbor, to show me how to flow correctly. Cause I'm not trying to hurt myself again, which I don't even know if it was that. I mean, the guy who was working on my back didn't think it was
that. You got to start easy. Just like running. You probably went all out.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Anyways, I'm about the lighter weight, higher reps, that lean muscle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those lean ridges are coming in.
I'm trying to be a jacked dad. No, it's not.
Okay. But honestly, actually talking running too, I notice sometimes after a long run, like a 2-hour run, my lower back does start to hurt. So I can tell I need to strengthen that. I think it's just,
yeah.
And I'm trying to do standing desk a lot more day to day at work.
Well, sometimes it's like if your lower back and your abs aren't equally strong, if one's a lot stronger than the other, then it can pull. And then, and then for me, apparently it was my glutes were so tight that it was pulling on my lower back. So it's like, I feel like it's just weird because like everything kind of has to be strong. It's one of those things where it's like, if your abs are jacked and your back is not.
You just got to flow yourself to flexibility.
Yeah, flow yourself to strength. I do think it's funny they're called flows. But yeah, I think we have a lot of education to do on that end. But I do think it's nice because you can do squats. You can do anything with your legs and a ton of stuff with your arms. And it's kind of a full body thing where you're not like targeting your bicep like a high school dude in gym class. It's like you're doing
curls for girls.
Yeah. It's like you're working out your body in ways that are useful. And I think for running, right. It's like, you know, at this, it can't hurt.
I'm just trying to get
right?
the overall core, the overall yeah. strength just turned up a notch. And yep. I think in turn with running, it's going to help a lot.
Right.
That's same with cross training. I haven't been on my bike in a bit, but I do want to more. Mm-hmm. But where I'm at, I actually, so running wise, let's talk where we're at. You obviously didn't do your marathon. It happened. But we did get a couple of runs in together.
Yeah.
I signed up for a race in, it's in like 10 days. So by the time you're hearing this, it's on the 13th. It's down in Oregon. It's a little bit of a ways, but it's at a cool at Smith Rock State Park. And I signed up for the 20-mile race. They have a 50K and a 50-miler. Shout out to my buddy Jansen Powers, who's running the 50-miler. It's his first ever ultra. But I was like, dude, I want to like just be a part of it. I think what it will do too is I'm not going to go out. It's going to kind of a rust buster type race, more right. just to get my stoke levels higher for my 100K in February mm-hmm. to kick off the real training block. Because if I can get around that atmosphere, typically after a race, you're excited to sign up for your next one. So if I go into this race, I get around the environment, I have a good solid effort day,
right.
Hurt a little bit, but not kill myself because I don't want to get injured. And then I will be so much more motivated, I think, to keep going up to that 100K distance because I already have the next race on the books.
Right.
So that's kind of my headspace with signing up for it. And
yeah.
20 miles is, it's far, but it's not going to like, I could probably run 2 days later and not
nice.
Be like, oh, I'm completely toast.
Are you bringing the fam or are you going to send it solo?
So I'm going to send it solo. And
oh, daddy's day off. You're so
yeah,
lucky.
Yeah, it's kind of, I was going to do the family thing, but it's more of a strike mission, I think, with me. Because we have the two dogs and we have another trip already planned where we're getting doggy daycare.
Yeah.
But dude, what I might do, I'm not sure yet. I might rent a Tesla on Turo and drive that so it can kind of drive me / it's just like electric and free. Because gas prices are kind of high right now and my truck's not running good. On Turo, I can rent for literally 2 days a Tesla for like $200.
Shut.
If I do it, I'll make some.
I mean, that is
dude.
The most.
It's stupid, so
this is a me problem. Before I say this statement, this is a me problem. But
okay.
I could never drive a Tesla.
I could definitely.
I have zero interest. Like, if you were to give me a Tesla, I would sell it and go buy something else. Like, I can't.
What's your reason?
I have no good reason other than like I just don't. It's just like I just can't see. Cars are weird. Where it's like. There's just certain cars that people just attribute themselves to certain types of vehicles. Like there's like the Jeep
sure.
culture, there's Tesla culture, there's, you know, like there's like Honda CRV culture. There's like,
no,
there's like Subaru.
No, there's not.
Yes, there's dude.
There's
who
no
loves
CRV
it.
Culture.
Yes, there is dude. Sarah's mom like dreams of CRVs. I'm dead serious.
Weird.
And there's like the WRX people. There's like,
no,
the,
I get,
there's like the
I get
Honda
it.
Civic,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like people attribute
no,
themselves
sure.
to cars. And I'm just like, I just like trucks. I just like, I know if there's a, like, I just can't imagine. I just think, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a personal problem. Because objectively, they're very economical cars that have a lot of cool features, right?
And they can drive yourself on the freeway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So for a sprint mission where I'm getting down there, like I would take my truck all day, but it's like, gas just for that there and back would be like $150 if I can rent a Tesla.
And gas prices are expensive right now, so
exactly. And this one had I was looking at a couple on that Turo website, and there was like free supercharging. I literally was like, this actually could be a pretty good option. Completely like, and again, this race was last minute. This is a very self-indulgent me trip, but hey. It is what it is. 21st century. We got options here. So that's kind of, I'm excited about that. On the 13th, I'll be showing up and blowing up. So
showing up in my Tesla, going to sell some Bitcoin and hit a run. No worries.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wear my full Nike kit. Like, just,
yeah,
I
dude.
No,
totally.
I don't know.
That's
I don't know
so
what shoes I'm going to race in
funny.
Yet.
I mean, probably. Oh, because it's a trail run. Yeah.
Probably
know.
Get a new pair,
oh,
bro.
Speaking
Treat
of shoes,
again.
Speaking of shoes, I returned those Salomon Ultra Glide. Whatever they're called.
Oh, did we even tell the pod you bought those?
I don't know, but I bought those. I have like medium sized feet. Like I don't have narrow feet, but I do have like I'd say my feet are medium width. Like I don't need a wide shoe, but if it's a super narrow shoe, it doesn't fit. And they were too tight. I had plenty of room in the toe box, but just how that top is designed, there's just like no breathing room. So if your foot doesn't fit, it's not going to be a good shoe. So yeah, if you ever have like shoes that fit too tight, because it kind of has that sock cinch mechanism versus just like laces and a tongue. So now
and that was my recommendation to Niles, because I liked my pair so much. But yeah, no worries. You got to get a shoe that fits.
And I guess you just have like these little dainty feet or something. I'm not sure. I mean, you tell me. You tell me, man.
I mean, they're like, I don't know, average. They're definitely a little smaller, size 9, kind of skinny. I don't
That's
know.
That's very funny.
But what are you going to get then?
Well, so probably just the Hoka Speed Goats or those North Face ones. But
oh, sick.
But the rumor mill saying that the 8s are Speed Goat.
Fives.
Fives. Yeah. I'm like, dude, these numbers are brutal. Like the Hoka 1-1 Speed Goat 8s, they're like the fun shoe.
Oh, actually, dude, hold up. I'm pretty sure, I haven't seen this officially, I'm pretty sure Hoka legally dropped the One, the 1-1 off their name. I don't see it anywhere on their website. I don't see it anywhere on their Instagrams. Like, I forgot I was going to bring this up, but I was like, did they just go to Hoka, which they probably should have a while ago?
Right. Whoa.
Anyways, I don't know. If someone on the comments of, if you listen to this and hit us up on anything.
But that makes my life so much easier. So like, I'm definitely down to not have to think about how to pronounce that word, and it saves people from embarrassing themselves like I did in the future. So that's great. But
yeah.
So going to get a pair of Speed Goats. I don't know.
You've never had a pair, so it's a great all-around aggressive trail shoe that you can do a lot of.
And I watched the Nick Bear documentary about his Leadville 100, and it was so good. So shout out to the BPN team. You guys absolutely crushed it. It was an
Jordan,
awesome doc. Jordan,
shout out to the homie Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan Utter, and then Taylor. Was Taylor the guy?
I think so.
Yeah. Or Tyler. I'm not sure. But
For Nick for completing the 100, dude.
Right. And we're also like filming it all. I don't know, like the footage they had, the coverage they had, and how hard they had to set it.
The quality is
insane. The quality, yeah. So it's great. It's like 40 minutes, so I recommend, you know, throwing it on your smart TV and crushing the whole thing. But he rocked Speed Goats a lot of that, and I was kind of like, okay, like, you know, he's rocking them, you've loved them, other people wearing them, so.
Well, they have like such a good squish to them too. Not only are they aggressive, they're pretty lightweight and kind of, and then
they have a good squish.
Oh yeah, the squish. You can't even feel the rocks.
Wow. I mean, if they have a good squish factor, then I think what's not to love?
Yeah, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. Also, I saw you went to Denny's. It's kind of random, but.
Dude, I love Denny's. I have a very high nostalgia for Denny's. And,
I love it too, just to put it on the record.
Yeah, it's just, and dude, the freaking French toast grand slam at hash browns, it's like, get out of town, dude. It's so good. Partially because you can't really mess that up. It's like, it's bread with like cinnamon and egg on it, and you just put it on the pan, and then it's an over easy egg, and then it's hash browns. It's like, it's just, it's freaking delicious.
That's awesome.
And someone paid for our meal, so shout out to the Denny's culture that they're facilitating.
What?
But yeah,
Denny's culture is so nice.
So we go in there, and this old dude, what's funny is this old guy was kind of looking at us, and I remember thinking like, why is this old dude looking at my family? And I guess because he was just, I don't know, was just like, wow, look at this family, like maybe it reminded him of his own. And then when I go to pay, I'm like, hey, I'd like to pay. And she goes, and as she's saying, I'm looking at her like, what could you possibly say that would delay me from paying right now? like you don't want me to? Like, we need to leave. Like, the kids are going to melt down. And then after I think that, she says, that man that was sitting in the booth right there, he actually paid for your meal. And I was like, what? So, yeah, shout out to... That's just a cool thing to do, honestly.
That's cool.
Like, I'm going to start maybe trying to throw that around. Just, like, pay for people's meals. Because it's just... I mean... Yeah, it's just one of those feel-good kind of, you know, good vibe moves.
I love IHOP. I love Denny's. Yeah. Just kind of those, like, the chain diners are, they get a lot of hate, and I feel like we need to make sure that people know how solid they are.
Denny's is my number one. I know that Waffle House is also really good, and Waffle House, you know, is probably...
Waffle House is way more crusty, though.
It is, but like people in the Midwest and South were like, that's their number one, you know.
I love it too.
For me, IHOP, I've just never been as, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Bro, the kids would love it though, because same with Denny's, like the menu is so laminated, everything's a photo. It's just,
and you get
super
crayons
nice.
And like stuff to draw on. Yeah,
oh, so sick. IHOP has like birthday cake pancakes, which are definitely like dessert. So they have like their full array of like chocolatey sweet pancakes, which dude, Luca would love.
I mean, in high school, we used to have like a rule that we could never go to Denny's before midnight, or like before midnight, or like after 6 a.m. So it's like we would all like stay up till 2 and be like, let's just go to Denny's. And like you just like the strangest people, the most interesting scenario, like you get people from like every type of person is there. It's like I don't know.
They're usually close to the freeway because they're like a stop in if you need to just
the
eat.
One in San Clemente is right off the freeway.
That one's iconic for sure, that sign and everything.
Because as you pull into San Clemente, you see that sign and you know you're in San Clemente right then.
You know it,
dude. So how's I know you were sleep training. How's sleep training going?
I give a little dad update going. Yeah. Sleep training.
A little
so
dad
basically,
update. A little dad date.
Yeah, daddy update. Barry is 6 months old now, which is crazy. I don't actually understand how that time went by so fast. I still don't understand it. Anyways, so she's 6 months, a little over 6 months, and she's been sleeping in our room, in the bed, on the side of the bed, just kind of like not a great setup for the longest time. And it was working okay, but It's time for little Barry to grow up a little bit, and for me and Ariana to get just a little bit, you know, out of our pure comfort zone of just having her right next to us at all time. But we tried sleep training and we stuck to it. It's been about a week and a half now, and it's going good. The first couple of nights were rough. She cried for a long time, but then eventually fell asleep. And then, so if you're not aware of what sleep training is, it's basically like letting the baby self-soothe instead of like being there with like food or with a pacifier right away. So I'm currently now, my desk is set up in our bedroom. So Barry's room is my old office. We set her up with her own room. And the idea behind it is like they cry for a bit. You check in on them like every 5 minutes, then every 10 minutes. But you don't like do too much. You put their passy back in their mouth, say like, oh, it's okay. Walk back out. They keep crying for a little bit, but eventually they fall asleep. And when she did, she ended up sleeping like almost all the way through the night, the first couple nights. And then there was a little roller coaster. Like she got worse a couple nights, and then a couple nights were better. And last night, dude, she fell asleep in like 2 minutes, like two cries out. So I think it's working, but
that's awesome. Well, it's funny we're talking about sleeping, because I hear my daughter screaming as she wakes up from her nap.
Oh, nice.
So I might have to hop away for a second and help. Hey, babe. Yeah. Do you need me to grab her, or like Towns? This is when you always get in the doghouse, right? Because it's like, oh, you're on your podcast, not helping with the kids.
You're on your podcast. That's funny. It's exactly what, like, you're on your video games.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sarah does not see this. She sees this as like something you don't have to do, and that you want to do and get to do, which I think is so funny.
Sarah, we have to do this. I can pull up those listener questions though.
Yeah, let's hit it.
Pardon me if I mess up any names. I'm just gonna read the user handle. Okay, first question: JRM's Winnie, Germs Winnie. Do you have a dream running location, any place, country, city, etc.? You have a dream running spot?
Our friend Joel from Norway, Joel Hipponen, sent us that one route that in somewhere in Norway. It was like, and he called it like the Midnight Sun Run or something. And it was like 20 something miles, and it was like 10,000 vert through these like fjords. I think for me, that's always just, I mean, it's just so visually insane. And going to Norway, now I've been there once. We were there for like 10 days. And like, now I just want to go back. So something that's just, I think a ridge line for me, like running a ridge line is so pretty. Getting above the trees, above tree line, and like having those expansive views and just kind of like gallivanting on some rocks. It's like that's awesome. You know, so cool.
I would love to run the like John Muir Trail in Yosemite. That'd be cool. Phil asked, shout out Phil, what up? What's Niall's go-to order at Denny's, which we kind of already answered.
Yeah, the French toast, Grand Slam, add hash browns. Ends up being a pretty good amount of food. If you're
coffee? No,
usually just water. I think if you're gonna have, if you're there with like your wife or your girlfriend or something, and they get pancakes, I do usually finish my like my wife's plate, or like if Lou doesn't eat all her pancakes, I'll eat those. So usually there's a little extra.
Or
for
any
me.
guest you're
yeah,
with,
or any guest for that matter. Yeah.
Nice. Greg Saunders asked, pre-run poop necessary or optional?
It has to happen. Like it's obligatory
necessary.
Poop. Okay, hold on really quick. I'm going to go grab Towns. He's crying.
Cool. Guys, I have been really enjoying training, running again, though. It's been fun in the fall. Been getting out like pretty much every day. Oh, my God.
That was a good cry. Yeah.
That was a good. Where is he? In the room with you?
I just set him on the ground, and he's not stoked. Hold on.
You should just hold him like the last time.
Dude, why does this keep happening? Every time we try to pod, it's like I end up with this kid in my lap.
I mean, we pod during nap time, not at night anymore. So it's like we have more energy, true. But the kids are like, true. I'm up. They nap for 45 minutes. So, okay, we can kind of quickly buzz through these.
Okay, let's hit it.
I want to hit everyone's because thank you for writing in. Levi Henson, buddy of mine, shout out Levi. What is the best breakfast after an early morning run, and why is it a McGriddle and hash?
Wow, respect for the McGriddle and hash. I don't like the
sweetness.
That's
like a number 5 or 6.
Yeah, I don't like to, like, things that are meant to be savory, I don't want to be sweet. Things that are meant to be sweet, I don't mind being savory, i.e. a chocolate chip cookie with sea salt. Meant to be sweet, but add savory. So I love savory. So
you're
for
like, okay,
me,
so you don't get the McGriddle.
So I do not get the McGriddle. But what I do get is just that bacon, egg and cheese biscuit is delicious. Yeah. The hash brown's delicious. Outside of McDonald's though, I'm looking for a breakfast burrito. I think a good breakfast burrito is just unbeatable. Yeah, I just freaking love a good breakfast burrito.
Nice. Yeah, I pretty much stick to, I like the McGriddle a lot. Hash browns at McDonald's are insane, especially when they're fresh. I don't mind in sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, which is, that seems rogue. I don't know how I feel about that.
It's good, dude. All right, next question. We got Matt Stolf. How do you grow a mean mustache? How do you grow such a mean mustache? I only get the peach fuzz worm. Peach fuzz worm. Yeah, I guess I can answer that. I've pretty much been just growing it out for like the last 7 years. So you don't,
but
I never
you trim
shave it.
It
all the way off.
Yeah, you
I trim
but,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, you trim it. Yeah.
I think it's just, you just got to run really hard, put in those weekly miles, and you'll get a stash going.
Yeah, that's not true. Because my little bitch ass over here can't grow a mustache at all, or really a beard for that matter. So shout out to everyone who looks their faces thinks they're still in high school, because that's where I'm at.
Peach fuzz worm. Okay,
what is the worm? What is the peach fuzz?
like it's like a, it looks like a worm on your lip. Like it's the shape of a worm.
Right okay,
wow.
Okay.
All right Roos Smith 6 said, your favorite snacks and fuel for long runs. Great question.
Wow, great question.
Niles hasn't ran a long run in a while, so I don't know if he remembers what his favorite snack is.
The honey stinger waffles are delicious.
Dude, that's kind of a sweet and savory thing, though. I don't want to call you out, but I'm just like,
yeah, but it's a sweet thing that adds savory. Again, bro, it depends on what comes first, my guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude, try to pin me in a corner? Come on.
My favorite snacks for a long run is probably literally a Snickers bar. That is my treat usually when I get at the turnaround point, like a halfway. If I'm doing like a 20-mile day, at like 10 miles, I'll have that. Obviously, you can do goos, or like actual fuel, just like calories. Shout out to BPN, one of our awesome low-key affiliate link sponsors. They have like some supplements. We call them our subs. They make some stuff. You
we
got
do
goo.
Call them our subs. It's so
goo,
dumb.
The brand GU. So dumb. They make some good stuff. Also, Spring Energy, which I really like. But I like a Snickers bar. And then anything that's like real food, too.
Yes.
If you can bring some peanuts, some like dried fruit.
Yeah.
Almonds, like you'll feel pretty good.
I still want to try Spring. It's just too expensive. But I do feel like when I do a race again, I'm going to invest in some Spring Energies versus.
Yeah.
First, the metallic, nasty, like, you know.
Hey, we'll be together next week in Texas. Maybe I'll bring a spring and share it with you.
Oh, dude, I'd love to do a first taste.
All right. Next question is from Michael Borman. He said, have you tried Ultras? And I have not, actually. I will eventually, but...
I have not either. I think the main reason people like them is for the minimalism of them.
They're thick. Yeah, they make some models that are thick.
Okay, so maybe I've never seen... Because the ones that... So there's people at Moment that have them, but they're like... They're a more minimal shoe for sure.
They also... They are... they kind of go to the human foot, I think. So they have a very wide front toe box.
Okay.
Which would be... Yeah, eventually I'll try them out, but...
If there is a more cushiony sole, then I would definitely rock them.
Yeah, but with zero drop, you're going to get your calf is going to roast. It's almost like running barefoot. That's what it's like kind of emulating. So you have no angle at all, which is fine. Shorts with liner or short shorts without liner? Commando or Nah?
Ooh.
Great question, especially if you're new to running. For sure, I do... You definitely go commando. Like, running shorts have built-in liners typically. If there's no liners, then obviously you want to wear some, like, sports boxers or something like that. But I like the shorts with liner, like the cutout underwear liner, just like a classic running
like
short.
The whitey-tidy underwear kind of style or like a boxer brief cutout?
I have some shorts with the boxer brief cutouts, which are super comfortable. But typically for, like, you just feel like you're a little more free with the whitey-tidy cutouts. Like, let that hip shine.
See,
dude.
I've never had a good experience with the whitey-tidy cutout. Mm. There's some chafing or it's bunchy. But I also have the lower half of my body is very strange. I have a very big butt. I have very large. My legs are very big and they're kind of short. So I feel like. It also just could be, again, it could just be a me problem once again. Because, I mean, finding pants, let alone. Any sort of thing for the bottom half of my body has always been somewhat difficult. So
nice.
I think most people think the liners are chill, but I'm kind of anti-liner. But
you have the boxer. Yeah, okay.
But boxers aren't ideal either, so.
Roel Stoffberg, Roel. This question is interesting because we kind of answered it earlier, but how have the Salomon Ultra Glides performed and would you recommend them? So you got our answer earlier. They were great for me. I still like them. I run in them like probably once or twice a week. And Niles, is your foot on Towns?
No. He's trying to
like,
crawl.
I thought you were tickling him with your foot.
No. He's at the stage where he's like crawling around trying to lift up. And he just hits his head on everything and I just can't help it. It's just hilarious. Like just... He just hits his own head into things, and it's just the funniest. I can't. He's just
That's
so helpless.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Niles' answer earlier on the Ultra Glides, yeah, no go on his big feet.
But for these little feet of Caleb's, they're great.
Yeah, or just get a size, like half size up. I don't know.
But then you got too much room in the toe box, because like that was what I thought. But I had tons of room in the toe box, and then
yeah,
they were still
tight.
Yeah,
you want a little. You do for trail running, especially want a little room in that toe box because going downhill, you won't smash into the end. And then also the length, usually your foot kind of expands.
Yeah.
This is an interesting question. Nolan Dectron wrote, how to find trails. So how do you find trails?
I don't know, dude. I have trails by my house and I just go to those. I mean, I guess you just go look at where the hiking trails are. And
I'll
run,
give you a,
and run those or
I'll
the,
I'll
or the heat maps on Strava.
Heat maps on Strava are super good, which is, I think, a feature you have to be a subscriber, like pay for Strava to have. Right. But I'll put a link in the show notes. There is a website called trailrunproject.com. It's a pretty good resource to at least look around the area. There's like ratings on trails. Ryan Thrower asks, why is my running pack full of waffles?
Because they're from Honey Stinger.
Because they're Niall's favorite snack.
Yeah.
Actual waffles would be pretty good of a snack too. Like,
yeah.
Kind of cold. Carbon. Oh, Eric Floberg asks, how do you stop yourself from vomiting on any runs over 14 miles? Dude, I feel like he pukes a lot, bro.
I mean, like,
I've never puked on a run.
I have. Towns, chill, bro. I have never puked on a run.
I haven't either.
I've puked like sprinting, like in soccer practice back in the day, or like intense interval training stuff. But yeah, Eric, bro, I don't know, man. You got to figure out some Pepto-Bismol before the run? I have no idea.
Try some different morning routines for sure. I don't know, dude. I seriously have no idea.
He did post more recently that he ended up throwing up. But honestly, props to Eric for just rallying. Because if I puked on runs over 14 miles all the time, I just wouldn't run that far. I would just refuse.
It's super common in an ultra, like a race where you're running like a 50 plus mile, or like, because you're at that point, you're eating so much and you're eating usually weird stuff or goos, and it's like your stomach is not stoked.
Yeah, I definitely could have puked on my marathon simply because I had just all that metallic gelatin from the goos in my stomach, and it was just disgusting.
Shout out to, okay, we got 5 questions left. Zach Price, the homie, wrote, how's the stretch game post runs for y'all? Which Coro swatch should I get? Wait, that's 2 questions.
Which Coro?
How's the stretching going? And then what Coros?
And then can you guys buy me a watch?
Yeah. Zach, dude, I've seen you crushing the miles on Strava lately. You've been up on it. Stretching post runs, I usually stretch for like 2 minutes after my run. Not that much, honestly. I should probably...
I'll
shake out my legs or walk around a little.
Yeah, I feel like I stretch as its own activity. Like, I don't stretch before a run or really after a run, but I'll stretch like during the day. Like, I'll do like, I mainly am stretching my hips and then my glutes.
Niles is always ready for a run. He's just
It's just like, I just feel like when I get home from a run, either it's really late at night or it's like I immediately am a dad and a husband. So it's like, I don't have time to like shower.
Dude.
I don't have time to like
time to stretch.
I don't have time. Yeah, I think it's like I just like I'm just crumb packing so hard. It's like that 10 minutes of stretching, I just feel like I just don't do it.
I think in an ideal world, like if I ended a run at a trailhead, I would have like a nice 10 minute cool down with a stretching routine. I'd do some like butt kickers and, you know, get the legs fully moving again.
Dude, Towns is going to war underneath my legs right now.
Niles is trying so hard to keep this pod alive. We got 4 more questions. Oh, okay. Hey, next question. I'm just going to shout out your name, but we basically just answered it. Matthew Brin, what's your stretching routine? So,
there's
minimal.
Yeah, there's basically, there's this hip stretch video. Apparently a lot of injury issues come from like tight hips. So getting those hips loose, I think, is really important. And this shout out to E21. Eric at our work at Moment, he showed me this video that's all about stretching your hips that I've been doing probably like once or twice a week. So
let's link that in the description.
Yeah, let's link it in the description. And I thought it was unlisted, but it is a public video. So
I'll actually list it. Another video I saw where a big issue with runners is getting your glutes activated before you run. That prevents injury and stuff, because if you don't activate your glutes, they might not fire during a run.
What do you mean activate your glutes?
So, like, almost, like, before you go on your run, if your form is bad, or, like, typically, like, it can happen where if your glutes aren't firing, like, as they should, then...
Like, what do you mean fire? I guess it's, like, how like can your muscles not fire?
Yeah, your glute muscle, like, if your form's kind of whack, you basically, you're pre-pumping them up. You're, like, stoking them real quick before your run to be, like, hey, when I'm running, remember
to wake
up. Do
you, like, do some jumping jacks or something? What do you
do? Dude, I'll link a video. There's, like, a pro runner... I can't remember her name. It might have been Emma Coburn.
Okay.
She's a freaking Olympian runner. She does this simple routine. A couple things with the band, a couple things not with a band, and it makes your like butt and glute muscles like really get like ready for the run, and it's kind of sick.
That's sick.
I've been doing that on my road runs mostly because I'm worried on the road that I'm going to get injured again. So, and Zach's question about what Coros should I get? There are 2 models, I think. Well, it depends how much money you got to spend, really. Like the high end one, the highest end one is super sick, has more features, but it's
probably like $600.
Yeah, probably. Oh. I have the Coros Apex, which is like kind of the $350 one, I think. Super good. And then there's also one called the Pace 2 that I think is $200. That's like if you're mostly a road runner, the Pace is a perfect watch. It's what like Kipchoge runs in. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then it must be good.
Okay. Oh, and Austin, we've ran with Austin before. Austin writes, Apple Watch versus Garmin versus Coros, which one takes the cake?
I think Coros, just because the battery life. Like, I think Apple Watch is a bad running watch, but it's good at everything else, right?
It's a good wrist computer.
Yes, exactly. Garmin's like kind of the in between. It's like you get, you know, 6 days of battery life if you're using your GPS for a run every day. But then Coros, isn't it like a month?
Mine lasts, and I run like pretty much 5 days a week.
That's insane. Like the next watch I get will be a Coros. I just want to watch that track surfing too. I can do like a surf activity, and
that would be the Apple Watch. I think
I know
would probably be the best at
but
that.
I don't want to like. I don't want to buy the Apple Watch, charge it every night. It's just not. I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel as core too. Like having like a Coros, you're like, oh, this dude runs. Like this dude runs trails, which I think is tight.
So yeah, I think Coros as well takes the cake. Haven't had a Garmin. I have had an Apple Watch when I first started getting back into running. It works. Just have to charge it every night.
Yeah.
And then two more questions. Cam Greg Films asks, pre-race diet, meals, etc., but getting super nauseous after every long run, need help. Whoa. Make sure you're getting enough salt, like electrolytes. I would say there's a company I started taking, like they have salt chews or pills called Salt Stick, and that helped. I don't know if it will help nauseousness, but that definitely helps during the run if you don't ever have taken salt, just to make sure you got that in you. And then dude, I don't know.
Yeah,
like I eat like some greens.
I definitely think it's a nutrition thing. Like
right,
like there's no way your body is doing that without there being something wrong, right? So it's like if you're not feeling that earlier, it's because you're hydrated and you have nutrition. So it has to be a nutrition issue.
Some,
so I would just eat more, drink more.
Yeah, calories. Definitely taking some calories, like good fats, like avocado, honestly. But if you're feeling nauseous after a long run, it definitely means you could have, you maybe your body wanted some food on the run. So bring some snacks with you, try some goos, or even like literally just, I don't know, a little peanut butter or something.
Yeah.
Okay, last question is from I'm Orange Beard, who I think his name's Jonathan. Jonathan Powell, what up? He wrote, I'm about to sign up for my first ultra in January. Will you and Niles come run it with me?
Whoa. Where is it?
Jonathan, we'll need some more information, so DM us back. I'm not going
to
say no.
We have nothing to work with.
We got nothing to work with, but like, what are you doing? What's the distance? Like, I'm not going to say no right now, but it's probably no, but like, I'm super down.
Slide into our DMs, John.
Niall still needs to sign up for his first ultra, so he keeps talking about it. Needs to pull the trigger.
I need to pull the trigger. Towns, what do you think?
But hey, next week, Niles and I will be together again for another work shoot. So we're going to crumb pack some runs during another work shoot down in the Dallas, Texas area. So maybe we'll do a post group run. I don't know how many people are listening that live down there. I know Nick Sept. Shout out, Nick.
Woo.
You got to come link up with us. Hopefully this pod comes out tomorrow. And then we'll be in Dallas starting on Monday, actually. Okay. Niles is in full dad mode, back to work. It's probably time we end this pod, but hopefully you enjoyed your, wherever you're listening from this from, maybe from your run, from your drive, your at school.
Towns just ripped my headphones off, so I can't hear you, but thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah,
and
perfect. That's basically what I said.
Grinding with their kids today.
And all the non-dads who have the dad mindset, because if I was like younger and not a dad and I still like listen to this podcast, I would for sure be like down on most things. What am I saying? Okay, anyways, guys, have a great day. Appreciate you listening. Make sure to leave a review. If you do actually like the pod, leave a review, because we laugh when we read them. And it's awesome. Okay, bye. Thank you.